Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of the kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by the true and living bread, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This week, I read an article with the title, How to Avoid Spending Too Much Time on Your Computer. Where did I find this article? On the computer. Being a man, I ignored that advice completely and Googled the most famous people in the world. And who came up first? By a long way. Jesus. According to this internet list, there are just over 7.4 billion people on earth, and almost exactly one third of them worship Jesus as the Son of God. Now, we can say, I think reasonably easily, that these 2.45 billion people know who Jesus was and is. And it's also beyond doubt that all the followers of Islam and Judaism have a reasonable knowledge of Jesus as well. In addition, there are about 1.5 billion atheists the world over, and the vast majority of them will know about Jesus, or will have heard of him. It's almost possible that the only people on earth who have no knowledge of Jesus are those people who belong to the 100 or so primitive, uncontacted tribes still remaining around the world. Google further claims that there are over 130 million different books which have been written and bound and can still be found in libraries around the world. And it's estimated that 40% of them are Bible-related. So right now, there are 52 million different books in the world that are in some way connected with Jesus. The man who was born 2,000 years ago in a small town, in a small country, on the distant borders of the Roman Empire. All this, of course, would not be a surprise to the writers of John's Gospel. It ends with the passage, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. What this amounts to is all these numbers and all these statistics amount to a kind of fame that is beyond all our understanding. Let's be honest, for most of us, any kind of fame can be a problem. That's something that's all too obvious in today's world with social media and all the rest. In this morning's reading, we find even Jesus needing to avoid the pressure of the fame which he was starting to achieve, needing to be alone for a while. In the verses immediately before this morning's gospel reading, there is the dreadful story of the murder of John the Baptist, a direct cousin of Jesus. It was only natural then that Jesus might want to spend a little time on his own, away from the crowds. Apart from anything else, the crowds had been by this time following him for quite a time. He had been healing, preaching and travelling and always in the public gaze. He'd been trying to give the disciples as much teaching as he could cram in, and yet the task seemed to be getting greater rather than less. With the death of John, Jesus acknowledged that the danger he was facing was coming closer. He needed to find strength to face the next step of his mission. He needed to find some rest as he journeyed towards the cross. He needed to spend time quietly with God. Now, one of the features of the Sea of Galilee is, frankly, it's not that big. It could be counted as a big loch, but nothing more than that. So when Jesus set off on a boat for the far side, the crowd simply walked round the top of the lake. And although much of what Jesus would have seen on the surrounding hillsides has changed, some of the path which the crowd would have used is still there and still walkable today. So there they were, waiting for him. Instead of getting precious time on his own, Jesus went into the crowd again, healing and talking. He then fed them before they set off on the journey home. This is one of the most revealing miracles that Jesus performed. Matthew 14 at verse 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus was deeply moved when he saw what the people had done. He had crossed in the boat looking for a time of quiet, a time to rest, a time to spend in prayer with God. But what did he find instead? A vast crowd demanding more and more of his time, his energy, and his powers. None of his disciples would have been too critical if Jesus had asked for time for himself. Indeed, tired and distressed as he was, it would be quite easy for us to understand if Jesus had been upset, angry even. That was not Jesus. He was moved with compassion and he immediately began to heal. Jesus never found anyone a nuisance if they truly needed him. Even when he had something else planned, he would respond to the needs of others. Even when tired, sorely pressed and in need of a break, he kept going with the work of God, an example which we are called to follow in our own lives. Indeed, this miracle of the loaves and fishes tells us quite clearly of the place of the disciples in the work of Christ. This story tells us that Jesus gave to the disciples and the disciples gave to the crowd. It would have required yet another miracle for Jesus to be able to distribute the bread and the fishes for the individually to the entire crowd. Jesus used the hands of his disciples that day, and he still does. Again and again, we come to face with a truth that is at the heart of our church. We, his followers, are helpless without Jesus. But it is also true to say that Jesus is helpless without his followers. If Jesus wants something done, whether it is children taught in the Sunday school, or some practical work needing done round the church, someone supported through a difficult period in their lives, or a messenger to go out and spread the gospel, he has to find hands to do the job. Our hands. There are no others. Jesus Christ needs people through whom he can work, and through whom his truth and his love can enter into the lives of other people. Jesus needs people to whom he can give so that they may give to others. Without such folk, he cannot work, and it is our duty to be the hands with which he can work. Jesus says to us, "Come to me as you are, with whatever gifts you possess, and I will use them greatly in my service." Now, there are many people who read the miracles of Jesus and feel no need to know anything further. When they read this particular miracle, the meaning is clear. The crowd was vast and Jesus had been following Jesus all day. They would be hungry, and the concept of 24-hour shopping was just a wee bit off. Now, the loaves and fishes in the miracle we would consider more of a picnic lunch. The loaves would have been like those wee hard rolls that you find on your plate in a hotel. And the fish were quite small, about the size of sardines. The miracle is simple and needs no explanation. In blessing the food, Jesus was able to increase what was there, far beyond anything that was necessary. everyone was filled. God had provided all that was needed, a wonderfully simple and joyful occasion. For those who need some kind of explanation of this miracle, there is this to consider. It is very likely that many in the crowd would have been carrying narrow-necked baskets, baskets which were shaped like flasks. When they were away from home, Jews often carried their own food in case they should be forced to eat food which had been touched by Gentile hands and was therefore unclean. Food was carried in these baskets, and folk would have often had food folded away in their robes. It was argued that no one in the crowd wanted to bring out their own food because they were too greedy. It produced the food they had. They would be if they produced the food they had, they'd be forced to share with their neighbours. Jesus, with a blessing, an invitation and a smile, opened up their hearts and destroyed the greed in their hearts. So much food was then brought out, there was more than enough for all. The real miracle, some people suggest, was that people began to share all that they had in true fellowship and complete trust. In whatever way the miracles are thought about, the most important thing is that they must never be regarded as something which happened, and that is the end of it. We cannot think of the miracles of Jesus as just historical or magical or medical curiosities with no relevance for us today. They are not. We must look at the miracles of Jesus as something that happens. They are not isolated incidents which occurred in a distant time and place. They are demonstrations of the infinite power of Jesus Christ. A power that is always with us, a power which is undiminished by time, by place, or by use. Jesus is clear that we should allow ourselves to be used by him to perform miracles today. Now, when we consider this prospect, don't let your hearts be troubled or your spirits diminish or your footsteps falter. We will be given all that we need. God will provide. This particular miracle looks backwards and forwards. It looks back to the miracles of the Old Testament. There's a clear reference to the story of Elisha, which we can find in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 42, which mirrors the story in Matthew. There's links with Moses of manna being eaten after the crossing of the Red Sea, and again with fish being eaten in the desert. At the same time, this particular miracle looks forward to the Last Supper, that Passover meal taken by the disciples in the upper room. But it goes another step further yet. This particular miracle looks forward to the communion service, the service which is the most central and most important worship in our church year. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. This is food to strengthen anyone. This is food which will bring contentment to any heart. The loaves and the fishes that were being shared are the spiritual food of Christ. This is a miracle which is reenacted every time we sit at the table of our Lord. It is when we remember the miracle of the loaves and fishes, when we celebrate together that special service of Holy Communion, it is then that we are given all that we need. All that we need to send us out to walk with firmer feet and greater strength. Sent out to live a life of service. Sent out to live a life of obedience. Sent out to live a life of faith. Sent out to walk and get a way of life which leads us closer to God. They all ate and were satisfied. Amen.